The Serious Side of the J. Ryle Show is coming up next right here on the TJRS Radio Network online radio at its best.
You are listening to the TJRS Radio Network. Network.
Now I'm covered.
Now for the first time, you can be covered with a quality health plan from the new Health Insurance Marketplace, part of the Healthcare Law. It's where brand name companies offer plans you can compare side by side, and it's the place to get lower monthly payments.
I'm covered.
So if you have an accident, get sick, or just need a checkup,
I'm covered.
We're covered. Now we're covered.
Enroll now at the Health Insurance Marketplace at healthcare.gov.
Online radio at its best. Online radio at its best.
Hey, 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 guten Tag.
If you're ready, map of the South.
Let's do this.
I'm telling you, I am first very honored that you would join me tonight.
He has a very limited time spot, so we want to bring in Mr. Alan Sarrell right away.
Hey, how are you, Kathleen?
You know what? I'm going to make you do what it do,
baby. Man, what's crack-a-lackin', baby? What's crack-a-lackin'?
It's time for the Serious Side of the J. Ryle Show.
Don't try to call me out, princess. You can take your love and true purpose and stick it. She's a bitch.
You are listening to the TJRS Radio Network.
This week on the Serious Side.
Good evening. Dr. Martin Luther King, the apostle of nonviolence in the civil rights movement, has been shot to death in Memphis, Tennessee. Police have issued an all-points bulletin for a well-dressed young white man seen running from the scene. Officers also reportedly chased and fired on a radio-equipped car containing two white men. Dr. King was standing on the balcony of a second-floor hotel room tonight when, according to a companion, a shot was fired from across the street. In the friend's words, the bullet exploded in his face. Police, who have been keeping a close watch over the Nobel Peace Prize winner because of Memphis' turbulent racial situation, were on the scene almost immediately. They rushed the 39-year-old Negro leader to a hospital where he died of a bullet wound in the neck.
The U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops has now chastised the GOP. In a letter to the House Agricultural Committee, they say that the Republicans' plan to cut billions of dollars from hunger and nutrition programs must consider the moral implications. Quote, a central moral measure of any budget proposal is how it affects the least of these, quoting the Gospel of Matthew chapter 5.
And now we're going to take a second to deal with a group of people that don't have a foundation. No Betty White, no Morris Animal, nothing. A group of mammals that are dying at an alarming rate, but it's not mysterious. We all know why. It's the black men killing each other for no reason in this country.
Good morning and welcome to the Serious Side of the TJRS, broadcasting live from the Smooth Jams Jazz Cafe, right here on the TJRS Radio Network. Good Sunday morning to you folks. Today is April 6, 2014, and you're in tune to the Serious Side of the J. Ryle Show, which happens every Sunday morning right here on the TJRS Radio Network, online radio at its best. My name's J. Ryle. Of course, I never share the stage by myself. Let me introduce you to our panelists. First up, she is the host of the True Purpose Development Show. She's also the host of Ladies First Radio, and she's the author of the book Pregnant in the Spirit. She's also a TV personality out of Detroit, a show called Transforming Detroit. Let's say good morning to the one and only Dr. Princess Adia. Good morning, Doctor. How are you?
I am absolutely awesome and fabulous. How are you?
I'm doing good this morning. Glad that you can be here.
Wonderful. I'm glad to be here.
Next up, the man who really needs no introduction. He's the man who really runs everything around here, my right-hand man. The Sergeant of Arms, we like to call him, the one and only Mr. L.E.S. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Good morning, sir, and good morning, Dr. Adia. How are you guys doing this morning?
Wonderful. How are you?
Great.
Right.
Thank you so much for being here, Ms. Delius. You can participate in the show. The number is 347-850. 1-2-7-2-3-4-7-8-5-0. 1-2-7-2. We'd love to hear from you. You can voice your opinion on this morning's topics, and we have some great ones for you. So sit back and relax for the next 2.5 hours. We hope that we can entertain you. We hope that we can bring something to the table. When you walk away from the show, we hope that you are just a little bit smarter. That's the goal. Of course, our political strategist, Jerome Esprit, will be along here shortly after his commitment to Clear Channel Radio. You know, this past Friday was April 4th. And if you listen to the J. Ryle Show, the Saturday edition, you heard my three-minute commentary. I talked about how I turned on the TV. I was flipping from channel to channel, as I usually do on a Friday night. Not one time did I see anything or any radio show, not a radio show, I'm sorry, any TV show, or even radio media for that matter. Didn't hear anything about the anniversary, the 45th anniversary of the death of Dr. Martin Luther King, and the man who gets the first and last word here all the time, Mr. Elias. Let me start with you. Why is this the deal, Mr. Elias? When November 22nd comes around, we all of a sudden we hear about Camelot and JFK and all the wonderful things that he did, and you know how great Jackie O she was as a first lady. Nothing that I see on television that acknowledged the 45th anniversary of the death of Dr. King. What say you, sir?
Jay, there's no logical answer for that. Basically, Dr. King was an excellent, excellent man, a great man who stood for peace, who stood for, diversifying his people, and there's nothing to be said about it. As far we celebrate his potential birthday, but you're right. During the time, November 22nd, we always talk about what happened to John F. Kennedy. But there's no mention of Martin Luther King, and you're right. I looked at the TV on April 4th, and I saw nothing. Not anything. There was nothing out there. It was just, to me, it was like, wow. It's just ridiculous, man. It's just totally ridiculous that there is no remembrance of this man on this day. Now, could it be this bringing up bad memories the day that he was, assassinated? Well, hell, there's bad memories when Kennedy was assassinated too, but they're still out there. It's ridiculous to me.
Well, I thought about that, Mr. Elias, and I took that angle. I said, well, maybe it's a situation where people just don't want to remember that day. Then I said, well, when is John F. Kennedy's birthday? I don't remember.
Right.
Do you know what day or month he was born?
No, I couldn't tell you.
And so that proves a point for me, Dr. Princess Audie, is the fact that we can't sit here and say, well, the reason maybe we don't want to remember this day is because this was a day that, we lost Dr. King, but we don't celebrate John F. Kennedy on his birthday. Like I said, I don't even know what month or year, for that matter, the man was born. So if we could sit here and go back and look at what happened in, the life and times of JFK, Camelot, and all those wonderful things from back in the day, why can't we go back and do the same with Dr. King? Because, listen, we can argue all day back and forth. Some would say that Dr. King did more for America than John F. Kennedy. Your thoughts?
He did more in regard to the civil rights movement. Absolutely, he did.
Well, that's for America,
and
right? What are you saying?
I'm saying for everyone. He was transformational, inspiring, to say the least. Absolutely. And, yes, it's important for us to celebrate, but I think the reason that it's not celebrated is because we do celebrate his birthday, which is tremendous. And we have a national holiday for him.
Just ignore the fact that he was assassinated 45 years ago on Friday. We should just, don't worry about it, since he gets one day out of the year, so that should be enough, right?
Okay, well, first of all, you know what happened every time. Okay, first of all, think about this, okay? We talk about his assassination, and we have a day for it. there are going to be commercials and movies and all kind of stuff that's going to really focus on that instead of the positive views that we get when it's his birthday. We still talk about quite a few things. And we talk about when he, when he was incarcerated, when he was killed and everything on his birthday. We do talk about his life, period. And we talk about his contribution. So why do we have to, like, oh, it's, you know, it's a big deal. Why don't we, you know, talk about his assassination? Well, first of all, that's such a very negative, I'm saying what I believe politically it would be viewed as. I mean,
politically?
It was
what does that have to do with anything? Why are you bringing politics into this?
If we talked about the assassination day, the main focus that I could imagine that people would have would be the assassination. And it stirs up anger and all kind of things. I just don't think that it would be such a positive day as it is when we talk about on his birthday. I just don't think it would be. He's got a day.
Just he's like got a day. There you go. So he has a day. We should, you know, he gets one day. You know, what's the deal? We celebrate him in January. Why the hell are we going to acknowledge that he was killed 45 years ago on a day? Who cares? He gets one day. So let's just blow over it like it never happened on April 4th.
How many days does Abraham Lincoln get? We just celebrated his birthday.
I don't give a damn about that. I'm not talking about Abraham Lincoln.
Do we celebrate his birthday? Do we celebrate his
birthday? We celebrate President's Day.
Okay, all right. How about John F. Kennedy? What do we celebrate? We celebrate his birthday, right?
No, we don't. We just talked about that in the beginning of the show.
No, that's right. We don't. Well, the bottom line is they're all about equal across the board. He gets a lot of time. We do marches for Martin Luther King. I mean, think about it. On Martin Luther King's birthday, do we march on anybody else's birthday to celebrate it? No. I don't know. We don't.
What does that have to do with it?
Listen to what I'm saying. We celebrate in the streets. We shut down schools. We do all. It's a big, big deal. There's news coverage all day. There's all kinds of things.
I don't remember news coverage being all day for Dr. Martin Luther King's birthday.
Oh, come on.
It's just a day off for a lot of people.
Well, it's a day off. I know in Michigan, it's like it's on the news. They're doing celebrations. We're in the streets marching.
Okay.
They are covering all the different stories of how. I mean, and I see it all throughout, you know, in other states as well. So I mean, come on, what are we talking about here? We don't have enough. We don't have enough again.
No, we're right. You're right, Dr. Princess O'Dea. We should just act as if it never happened. We should just, that day comes by and we just say, hey, you know, it's just another day. Okay, hey, that's your opinion.
Okay,
that's fine. If that's what you want to stick with.
Flashy news. Today we want to mourn. We want to celebrate.
It's not mourning.
To you. Okay, all right. All right. Today we want to acknowledge the assassination of Dr. Martin Luther King on this day. Can we have a moment of silence? Do we not do that on his birthday?
Oh, God.
I'm just saying.
Wow.
Like we don't acknowledge him. It's not like we don't acknowledge him. It's not like we don't acknowledge him in a huge way.
I understand,
so,
Dr. Princess.
Can we pay homage to that? Can we, for a moment, appreciate that? I mean, and that's not just like, oh, just appreciate that. We make a big deal on his birthday.
That's right. Okay.
Wow.
All right, thank you so much. 12 minutes after the hour, you're listening to The Serious Side of the J. Rouse Show. Happens every Sunday morning right here on the TGRS Radio Network, online radio at its best. Actually, it's 15 minutes after the hour. The call-in number is 347-850-1272, 347-850-1272. You can participate in the conversation. We're talking about, we're acknowledging, we're not going to be like most media outlets. We are going to acknowledge what happened 45 years ago from this past Friday, the assassination of Dr. Martin Luther King, Jr. Mr. Elias, let me come back to you, man. I don't know where to go after that conversation, that back and forth between Dr. Princess Adelia and myself. What are your comments? I just don't know I don't know what to say after that back and forth. I'm exhausted dealing with that. But go ahead, your thoughts.
Well, by the way, he was born May 29th, 1917, John F. Kennedy.
John F. Kennedy, okay.
Okay. You know, we give him a day. You know, is that the way we think in our society, that we gave him a day, so that's good enough? We gave him a day. Ah, that's good enough, just to give him a day. Ah, he doesn't need anything more. Look, this man's life should have been celebrated for equality. That's what he stood for, is for equality for all races, not just our race, but all races. So to sit here and say, he has his birthday, and on that one day we tell him, oh, you're great, thank you, we march in the streets, oh, it's okay. No, that's bull crap. The bottom line is, hey, this man should be celebrated more than one day. We give him his birthday, that's enough. Dr. D, you know, Don, I love you, but wow. Is all I can say is wow. Look, the bottom line is this man was assassinated April 4th. A remembrance should be out there so that, hey, look, this is what happened on April 4th for our future generations. A lot of kids right now today don't know anything about Martin Luther King. You know why?
Oh,
because
it's
not taught. Really? Really,
serious?
a lot of kids don't know about black as a heart attack. A lot of kids don't know about black history today, Dr. Odelia. They don't know.
It's not taught to them. Oh, come on, Clinton. First of all, they don't have to talk about anything, but let me tell you, I doubt it.
They
if
don't?
Somebody doesn't know about Dr. Martin Luther King and his story.
Yeah.
Well, they have forums about it, auditorium reviews about it.
What about our kids? What about our kids, Dr. D?
Okay, no.
What about our kids?
My children, okay, let me tell you.
I'm not talking about your children, I'm talking about all kids.
Okay, listen. What I'm referencing, you said not all kids are not black children. But I'm going to say that out where my children have been raised, it's been diverse, and it's been predominantly white and other races, okay, of all different Indians, all other races. However, in where they've been to school, they even had forms about Dr. Martin Luther King, except one city that we moved in and they clowned for a couple of years. You know, I've made a big stink about it, but they didn't even take the day off, and they were the only ones that I knew of in Michigan that didn't take the day off, and that's when we would stay in Island Lake. And I was surprised, okay? And that was just, like, 2 years ago. So I'm just saying, that was something new, because typically it's not like that. Now they do take the day off. But even that school, and they were still in that prejudiced state, they even had an auditorium, and they made sure that they did do some kind of covers in the auditorium, and the students had to come down there. So I doubt that nobody knows about Martin Luther King's story, because that's all they talk about when we do his birthday. The marches and there. I mean, what cities do you guys live in? Because I know here in Michigan, it's a huge deal. It's a huge deal. I mean, and they talk about his history in detail. We have movies about it. BET covers stories and movies and all kinds of things. What do you mean nobody knows? Are you kidding me?
Let me jump in here, Dr. Princess O'D, because I think, and I don't want to speak. I don't want to do what one of our colleagues do on one of our other shows. I'm not going to speak for Mr. Elias. I think what he meant was that, you know, it doesn't resonate with young people today like it should. I think most kids do know about Dr. Martin Luther King, but I go back, and it's a story we did here a couple of years ago, and I don't know if we did a full story or if it showed up in the Before We Go segment, but it was a strip club that had a Martin Luther King strip-a-thon or something, and they had these flyers going out with Dr. King with a crown and cash money in his hand, and people were outraged. And the young man who actually put this together, he was like, I didn't know it was going to be such a big stink about it. So I think, and that's where you're going, Mr. Elias, right? The fact that it doesn't resonate with these guys, it's like, oh, okay, Dr. King, he died for us, blah, blah, blah. But they don't really understand the true significance of what this man did for not only our race, but for Americans as a whole, because he represented poor white people. You go back and listen to some of his speeches, he talked about that. So I think that's where he was going. I think that's where you were going with it, right, Mr. Elias?
What I'm saying is they know nothing about this, or nothing about this man, what he stood for, anything. They just know it's a day off from it's a day off, it's a holiday that they celebrate. They knew nothing about what he stood for.
I don't know where you guys about your kids and what schools they
okay,
go to.
Then,
but
then,
I know
okay,
here,
then,
I know here they okay. talk about it. I know here they talk
Detroit,
about it. I know
they,
here.
And Detroit, they had a strip-a-thon there, too, with the King celebration. So if they're talking about it there, why are they disrespecting this man like that?
Because people, now that's what we should talk about. How do you disrespect the knowledge that you have? Because
and
people
it
do have.
Not to acknowledge that he was assassinated on his day in. Isn't it a disrespect? Isn't that a disrespect to not remember the man on the day that he was assassinated? Isn't that a disrespect? Anybody that's passed away in your family, do you remember the day that they passed away? And do you go out and put flowers and memorialize them on the day that they died? Do you do that?
Well,
just asking. I'm just asking.
No, I don't. Actually, I don't.
You don't?
Actually, I remember them. I don't. I really don't. So. No.
I do.
Well, I don't. So I know. I don't. You know. I think about them. I choose to focus on their life and how you know I honor their life in my thoughts.
There you
go.
Well, just proved our point, and that's what we're talking about. I mean, you just proved our point. You honor their life. You go back and you reminisce about the good times. Well, but he asked you about that day, Dr. Princess Odilia. Listen, let's bring in Rich Sister. She's one of our colleagues in the other shows. Good morning, Rich Sister. Welcome to Serious Sounds. What's your thoughts on this particular topic?
Hi, everyone. How are you doing?
Good morning.
Awesome. Good morning.
Yeah, I can understand. Just to focus back on, like, what you said, being too painful. I seriously believe that's really where it's more heading because, I mean, I really don't hear black people talking about it much either, you know, really talking about him on this day. I think it really is bordering along the lines of just too painful because definitely me, I wasn't even on the scene then. I can only imagine just how painful that day was, and I guess you just got to really look at it from that standpoint. Now, can it be talked about? Should it be talked about anymore? Hey, it's never too much to talk about somebody as, you know, as much of an impact on this world he was. But I think we got to more so take the blame of it and say, why are we really not talking about it? I think it really is that it's just too painful. People who are at least had some kind of awareness, at least a teenager back then, definitely an adult. I think it is just too painful. So
well, now, let me press you on that, Rich Sister, because I think the big issue that I had is that the media really didn't take the time to acknowledge this. Now, are you saying that the reason why the media is not doing this is because, you know, it was too painful for Channel 7 News and they can't take the opportunity to go back? Is that what you're saying?
Well, big shocker, the media is not. Big shocker.
Well, and that's my point. That was my point about this whole segment, is the fact that you could turn the television on November 22nd, and you could see all these stories about how great JFK was, and of course you're going to see the recruiter footage and all that stuff, but you know, there's a thing that's called 4 days in Texas, where they kind of go back and they relive that whole time frame what the nation was going through. To sit here and try to stick your head in the sand and say that this didn't happen, or you know, we choose not to remember it, you know, I just think we're wrong for that. We have a few minutes left in the set. Jerome Spree, our political strategist, has joined us. Let me get him in here so we can have a few words to say about this particular topic. Good morning, Jerome. How are you?
Hey, good morning. How you doing?
Doing all right, sir. You walked in into another hornet's nest. But what are your thoughts?
Well, first of all, I don't know why it's a hornet's nest because I don't get why anybody would not understand how white supremacy and oppression works. But here's the deal, just in case you don't know, is that when you don't have minorities in positions that set programming, it is not interesting to them. So black folks, stop acting like white folks hold your interest in that there's some fairness in the world because it has no interest to them. Now, you're right, Jay. They're wrong generally because the civil rights movement happened in this country, but we get to observe things that happen in other countries. Right? People are sitting there losing their mind about Crimea and what the United States should and should not do. We have poverty in this country. We have history in this country, and it totally goes ignored while we still have black folks still fighting with white folks on how we should handle this and say, hey, y'all have a day. Y'all shouldn't worry about that, and we need to integrate and be a melting pot. That is bull, because we still celebrate four, Irish holidays, you know, St. Patrick's Day, and, we celebrate Oktoberfest. Like, we're not in Germany, right? The issue is that we can't acknowledge that because black folks, some of us, are ashamed of black folks, and we want to act like we're white folks. So we let them off the hook from them not acknowledging civil rights like it never happened because, first of all, they're ashamed that it happened. I'm not sure if they're as ashamed of it as they want us to just kind of go, let's just move on from that and act like everything's okay while we're still watching black folks get shot by police officers like crazy. I don't know. Just call it supremacy and chalk it up to oppression. We need to make sure that programs like this, and I'm glad you're doing this, even on my news program, I make sure I take news from a different perspective because it is our responsibility and our responsibility as gatekeepers of our own information to make sure we put out good information. That's why I yell on this program so much and other programs about looking at things through the lens of black people because we will never be white, and if we start looking at the world through their lens, you won't have a lens to even view Jack with. That is our responsibility.
Yeah, exactly. And that was the point. The point is, it's not the fact that it takes us, you know, it's a summer day, because it could be a summer day. I mean, think about the people who were his lieutenants during that time frame, the folks who were standing next to him when it happened. You know, I know it would have some type of impact on them and not a good way, because they remember all the good things that were going on during that time and the things that he stood for and what he represented. There's also the what if factor. What if he'd have stayed around? What more? What other things could he have had a positive impact on had he was allowed to live the remainder of his life? And then think about it in the way of a Nelson Mandela. You know, Dr. King should have had the opportunity to grow old, and so people can really and truly celebrate him like they did Nelson Mandela. So to sit here and say that, well, you know, he has his birthday, you know, that should be good enough. We march on his birthday. We take days off on his birthday. I don't know why we should really April 4th is, but that's exactly what you said. Am I lying? Am I putting words in your mouth?
No. Can I say? Let me allow me to say.
Please do. We have 4 minutes left in the segment. Well, actually, we have three.
Well,
Go ahead.
I'm gonna be sure not to take the whole four. This is what I do want to say.
Said three.
The difference. Yeah, I do want to say this. On his assassination, first of all, our country is still dealing with prejudice in a major way. Okay.
Okay.
Already. All right.
Absolutely. Agree with that.
When you talk about Dr. Martin Luther King's assassination, they are still, it's like bringing up, it's some unfinished business, okay? It's very sensitive. It's still an open wound. Politically, even just to bring that up and to have a discussion about that, people are going to want to know, now can we get to some resolution? And we haven't gotten there yet. So I don't see that's so, like, we have to talk about his assassination on this particular day for the reason that we are not healed yet, period, anyway. And we want to talk about police killing. How about how we're killing each other, okay?
That's coming up in the third segment, but go ahead and finish the thought. You said you would take the whole...
Hold on, you said you wouldn't take the whole three minutes.
Dr. Presidio, we definitely have to move on. Okay, we got your point. Let's let everyone else make their comments on this particular topic. We heard from Jerome. Rich Sister, go ahead and give me your final thoughts on this particular topic.
I definitely want to agree with what Jerome said. It's our responsibility. And that was my point of, like, bringing up that the painfulness of it. I mean, if we're going to sit silent and quiet, you know, we got to be willing to bang on our own drum and not get so trapped to where it's making us fearful and really, I agree with him. It's our responsibility. So that's why you're not seeing it. If we would really push that, it would be done.
Absolutely good stuff. Mr. Elias, man, go ahead and give me your final thoughts on this so we can move on.
you know, I just listened to what Dr. Adiga said, and she said that it's painful. So is slavery. What did happen? Things that happen that are painful, we still need to address. So for us to sit back and say, well, we don't need to keep bringing it up, why not? You know, you can never look at a Jewish person and they won't tell you about the Holocaust. So why are we so scared to bring up what happened in our past? So my thought process is, it happened April 4th. Let's bring it up. Let's talk about it. And let's just not say, hey, man, we gave this guy one day. Let's leave it at that. I don't get that one.
Yeah, I think you and I are on the same page with that one. All right, folks, good stuff. All right, coming up next, we're going to talk about something, and I'm reaching out to women and poor white people. If you fall into this category, you need to listen to this second set. Plus, I have a very special letter and a message from a grandmother out of Atlanta, Georgia. I'll read that for you. Folks, it's the Serious Side. It's Sunday morning. Feel good about it? I feel good about it. We'll talk on the other side of the break. Stay close.
Hi, this is your resident Map of the South, Mom's Little Donna's. Kickstarting your weekend every Friday with Ladies First Radio, The J. Rouse Show. A show for women, by women. Tune in every Friday, 7 p.m. Central Standard Time, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, as my co-host Princess Odelia and I discuss everyday issues and offer inspirational solutions. From the East Coast to the West Coast to all over the world, Ladies First Radio keeps it real, spreading positivity one show at a time. So come be uplifted with Ladies First Radio, The J. Rouse Show. Every Friday, 7 p.m. Central Standard Time, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. That's Ladies First Radio, The J. Rouse Show. A show for women, by women.
On my own.
Conference of Catholic Bishops has now chastised the GOP. In a letter to the House Agricultural Committee, they say that the Republicans' plan to cut billions of dollars from hunger and nutrition programs must consider the moral implications. Quote, a central moral measure of any budget proposal is how it affects the least of these, quoting the Gospel of Matthew chapter 5.
Welcome back. 347-850-1272 is our call-in number, 347-850-1272. You're listening to the Serious Side of the J. Ryle Show, which happens every Sunday morning right here on the TGRS Radio Network online radio. And especially, let me introduce you to our panelists again, ladies first, as always, here on the on the Serious Side of the J. Ryle Show. Let's say good morning to the one and only Dr. Princess Adi. Good morning, Doctor. How are you?
I am well. I started to say, yeah, the True Purpose Development Show.
Yeah, the True Purpose Development Show on my mind. Good that you're here this morning. And, of course, the smartest man in the world, the one and only Jerome Esprit. What's going on, sir? How are you?
Hey, I'm good. How you doing?
Doing all right this morning. And, of course, the Sergeant of Arms, the man who keeps everyone in line around here, the one and only Mr. L.E.S. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Good morning. Good morning, everyone.
We'll say good morning to some people, some of our listeners a little later on in the show. Plus, I have a very special message, our note, our request from our grandmother out of Atlanta, Georgia. We're going to read that to you as well. That's coming up shortly. But we have a lot to get into, so let's get into the next topic. Now, here's my question for you. And if you are a woman and if you're poor, why are you a member of the GOP? Because everything that the Republicans are trying to do has an adverse effect on women and on poor people. So let me start this conversation off where everyone thinks I should start this conversation off, with my main man, Jerome Esprit. Jerome, if you're a female and if you're poor and white, why are you a Republican?
Oh, that's pretty easy. Hate defines us. People do things that they... I think that's a part of what we do as Americans, as our culture, is that we blame other people. It's like Paul Ryan saying, it's those people, like it's the culture of the urban city that's bringing us down. Like, there's always this thing about thinking that it's someone else. And so we got so good at it, it becomes, it's programming, it's brainwashing to us. And so a lot of people actually think that. Right, so when you start going into the violence and shooting, you're gonna hear people lose their mind. But they don't lose their mind when white folks do that in certain areas. But if a black person do it, they go, "See, look," you know, because it's brainwashing. So when you brainwash people to think a certain ways, you'll actually have this whole pathology based around how you see the world. And so even poor white folks think that it's poor black folks that's holding them back. Like, they don't want them to have anything, even though they're poor, getting public assistance or getting Medicare or anything. They will sit there and think that it's someone else. And I always, you know, caution people to say, if black people are minorities, 13-14% of the population, how is it possible that we take up all the resources? It's just a smoke and mirrors trick. So if you demonize someone else, people don't pay attention to their own dysfunction and their own being devalued. And this country is a prime example of, you know, a culture that has mastered that.
Dr. Princess O'Dea, you're a woman. I know you're not a Republican, but if you were a Republican woman, or if you were a poor white person or poor people, period, why would you support the Republican Party?
First of all, I'm an independent. I go.
I know. I understand. Just Work with the show topic, sweetheart. Work with the show topic. We understand that. But continue, please.
Well, I just wanted to make that clear.
Perfectly clear. It's crystal clear.
Yes, good. I feel, no, I wouldn't. And that this goes to the point that most times people don't study to show themselves approved, and we jump on bandwagons just because it's the thing to do. And I believe that even some people have jumped on the Republican side and hearing things that they're really not hearing just to get away from President Barack Obama, too. So you have a case here, I believe, that has influenced certain things, and people are making decisions that really don't make sense, and they have been doing it for a long time. That's what, you know, we've been accustomed to, especially the older generation, the older Caucasian race. They're really, a lot of them are really old school, if you would, and they just stay with the program that's at hand, not really, you know, brushing up on, or I should say, becoming more knowledgeable of it. Just, hey, it's better than the other side. The idea, I believe.
Ms. Daly, asked the same question for you.
It's like Jerome said, plain out racism, man. I work with guys. We're union shop, and guys are Republicans, and it's true that the Republicans hate unions. So why would you be a Republican for something that gets you your money, pays your money? I'll tell you why, because it's systemic. It's a racism thing, man. It is what it is. I mean, bottom line is that the Republicans have always been, you know, for lack of better terms, a white party, man, and that's what it's about. I mean, some of these guys sit around and listen to Bill O'Reilly, and they say, did you hear what Bill O'Reilly said? I said, no, I didn't, because you know what? What he spews is non-truth. So anything that he does or he says, even the books he writes, he wrote a book about, I believe it was Lincoln, and it was all incorrect information. So, you know, it is what it is, man. You got these people who are going to believe that no matter what, that it's their way, and that's the way it's going to be.
Now, when you talk about racism, and let me ask you this. Now, you say racism, and I think it's people can really and truly say or, you know, attach that stigma to it because of the fact that we do have an African-American president in the White House. But, I mean, what about during the Clinton years? I mean, so to sit here and say, when you say racism, I mean, can we really say it's racism, or is it just a situation where, you know, they just don't believe in liberal views and opinions?
Well, it's gotten a lot stronger since this president is
sitting. I agree on that. That's for damn sure. I agree.
It's gotten
a lot
stronger. So when I sit there and say that, I've seen it, and you know, and I've seen the lies that have been spewed out. You know, when Al Gore ran for president, the first thing that came out of these guys' mouths is like, Al Gore, any Democratic president, they're gonna take away your guns. It's just lies on top of lies. Now these guys usually do their homework. It's just a bunch of lies, and I don't get it. I don't get it.
You know, Jerome, a lot of people consider Paul Ryan as a smart guy, even though, you know, I don't know if I agree with that, but I hear a lot of people say that. You know, we talk about his budget, you know, his budget that he put out there. He has all these cuts for all these programs that will affect poor people, but he has, you know, an excess of, what, $400-some billion going to defense spending? But the bottom line is you want to cut school programs for lunch and for those types of things. And the main thing that all the Republicans are always saying, well, you know, what you don't want to do is you don't want people dependent on the system. In other words, if we give it to them, they'll be too lazy to go get it on their own. What say you?
Yeah, and isn't that stupid and stereotypical?
Absolutely.
I mean, that's fitting a stereotype. So it's race baiting, right? And so I know you brought up Clinton earlier, but I don't know if you remember Reagan using that welfare queen thing. I mean, they debunked that years ago that he was lying.
Yeah.
Right? And we still talk about that, especially on the Republican side, as a strategy to make sure that people aren't using the system and getting stuff that they don't deserve and all of that. So you can always paint a picture, and so they need to use a black woman with X amount of kids to make the point, because the racism entwined, like, that's wrapped into that, moves white folks. So you can't say that it has not. This country has always had something to do with race. It's about instilling fear into white folks who vote. That's what it is. So if you don't ask black people to make sense of why that is, and that don't make sense to us, it is not for us. That stuff ain't directed at you. So you're not the primary audience, so you don't know how it, like, you don't have a feeling towards it, because
right.
It is not, that marketing isn't geared towards you. So when we
start
talking about...
Let me ask you a question, Jerome. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. Didn't Clinton, I remember something that happened during the Clinton administration where he had actually made that fatal mistake in saying something about welfare, where he said that this will make more people get out there and work, and a lot of Democrats have never forgiven him for that. I mean, I can't remember exactly how it went down, but I vaguely remember something of that nature happening during the Clinton administration.
Right, exactly. So he goes through and he's saying, with Newt Gingrich and those guys, that was a compromise. This is why I keep saying how oppression works, right? Don't be fooled by Clinton, because Clinton actually said that work to welfare thing. They got rid of food welfare, as we know it, so they don't really have welfare anymore, and started those food supplement and kind of voucher stuff in different programs, but they got rid of welfare because it says, during the Clinton administration, they were saying, this will force people to work. People
right.
don't work if they don't have no job. So if black people are the last people hired because they're not hiring, of course you're going to have higher unemployment in the black community, because people hire people who look like them. So when
right.
Clinton did that, it was definitely racist, and it was race baiting. Even in the Sister Soldier, people keep, especially Democrats, which I think are dumb for this, keep bragging about the Sister Soldier moment that Clinton had. But what that tells black people is this, that at the moment that you become a sacrificial lamb to either party just to appease getting white voters, they're going to slow roast your butt. That's what it shows you. So there is nothing positive in that. And, again, it was Hillary Clinton that brought up the three of the morning thing about President Obama. It was Clinton who made the statement about even Jesse Jackson won South Carolina. Racism and racist stuff comes from white people. So the problem is that we can forgive some of them and not others. I'm not saying to what degree that works. I'm saying that that's prominent in our politics, and it's prominent in our politics in this country. And don't be fooled by it. I don't care who it comes from. I'm not a fan of the Clintons, and everybody keeps saying that about, you know, Hillary's going to win, and she is not going to get black female votes. And black female votes are the most important votes in, as of the last, like, four election cycles. And so the problem is, if you look at her relationship with the First Lady, you'll see that Michelle Obama is not forgiving that woman. And what happens is that you'll see that most black people don't react that way. So who is she going to get to sit up next to her but older black women? That means the next candidate will be able to cultivate younger black women and get them to vote against her. I don't think anybody can see that coming. And again, I know I do that for a living, but the problem is that people are short-sighted when they start seeing how the bigger picture plays out when it comes to race and how it's integrated into our society, and why people see the world like they do. But it is very fundamental that we talked about this in the first segment, why we won't deal with the civil rights, signing of the Civil Rights Act is, 40 years or something coming up next week? And the problem is, nobody likes to deal with that, because there's no advantage to white people on dealing with it. Now, if there was an advantage to them somehow, I've seen something on TV where they said, oh, Lyndon Johnson signed this. That thing was started by doing Kennedy, and Kennedy didn't even want it. He didn't want to wreck his presidency fighting for civil rights. They were forced into it, and it's because black people stood up and made it so egregious, and, you know, the Democrats needed to vote, that all of these things took place. But don't think for any moment, even your liberal friends, that they somehow turned over a new leaf. Just like LES said, the unions won't vote for unions because they think that black folks benefit from the unions and it benefits the Democratic Party. So the people in the unions will vote against themselves having unions just to make sure you don't have anything. That is sick.
It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous, and you're right about that. It's 10 minutes before the top of the hour. It's the serious side of the Jay Rouse Show, which happens every Sunday morning right here on the TGRS Radio Network. Online radio at its best, 347-850-1272 is the call-in number, 347-850-1272. You can be heard. All you have to do is pick up the phone and give us a call. Tell us where you're from and make your comments respectful, short and brief, and we'd love to hear from you. Now, let me go back to you, Dr. Prince's idea. You know, we're having this great conversation about this, and, you know, we think about Republican women. And, you know, the one thing that I think that we really and truly need to look at is that Republicans are always talking about they don't want the government in their business, but yet and still, in the same breath, they talk about women's rights. For example, here in Texas, you know, the bottom line is women, there are only one or two places in the whole state of Texas where women can go and get abortions. I mean, so there was this huge news story the other day on the news about women going down to Mexico and having abortions done because they can't get the treatment here in the country in which they were born. So the Republicans, on one hand, they talk about we don't want government getting in our way, but at the same time, they want to dictate to people, especially women, what they can do with their bodies. What say you?
Well, like you said, they contradict themselves, and that seems to be what they are. They're divided amongst themselves, and therefore you get contradictions Unfortunately for women, it all goes back to the racism, their choices, them wanting to just stick with the Republican Party, because it's not like they're actually using or thinking. They're seeing it through the eye of the prejudice. And when you see through that lens of prejudice, you make choices that don't make sense, you know, and they are on a team that is divided, you know. So, I mean, it's unfortunate, but maybe, you know, I think it was literally, I said earlier, maybe the women that are the Republicans, maybe they don't care about the abortion piece. I don't know. I mean, some people don't. Some people care about it and some people don't. But people make their choices. I don't know what to say more than people make the choices that they make based on their current perspective. And if their perspective is, whether it's racial or whether it's just a matter of complacency because that's the way they've always done it, people make the choices that they make and they stand by it for whatever reason. It is what it is. It's a matter of their current perspective, and that's, you know, to make sense of that, I mean, that is the sense of it. It's a matter of their perspective. And if they choose to stand with the Republican Party, or they've always been with the Republican Party, or their family has always been with the Republican Party, they're taking one for the team. They're standing where they feel they should stand.
Yeah, it's ridiculous when you sit back and really and truly think about how people can stand for things that they really don't know anything about. You know, you talk about, Jerome, what's going on with Medicare. You know, one of the things that Paul Ryan said, he's talked about giving seniors vouchers. And I'm saying to myself, how can you sit back and not do your homework? I mean, it's amazing to me when I look at a lot of the things that goes down with people. It's like you're an idiot. It's like someone tells you to your face, hey, you're stupid, and we're going to take all this away from you. But they, you know, they feather it up with words, and you're smiling, yeah, yeah, yeah. And these, the same people who are smiling in your face are trying to, in my opinion, really and truly break you down, and you don't see it. You are there grinning and smiling. Seniors vote Republican. We know the numbers. But they're trying to hit, they're hurting you. I don't understand it. I just don't get it.
People vote against things more than they vote for something.
You know,
right?
that's a good point right there.
Well, it's easy for people like Paul Ryan and those guys to make idiotic statements because, you know, there are people who say things like, yeah, they said that, but they do have a point on the economy, like, or our deficit, or the debt ceiling. that is ridiculous and nonsense just because you know that you have to run a debt somehow to keep a government running. It's just pretty much how governments run. Now, all of us don't know that, just those people who actually, you know, work in those areas.
I'm sorry, go ahead, Jerome.
They don't know what will hurt them. So what happens is that Paul Ryan says things like, you know, yeah, we don't need Medicare and we should go to a voucher system. And then when we watch a bunch of starving elderly people eating cat food and dog food, then we'll go, that's a daggone shame. And it's like, why don't we have that now? It's because we have food programs now. You cut all the food programs, you're going to have that happen. So even in Texas, they're finding people hemorrhaging, going into the emergency rooms by doing self-abortions now. We ain't had that in this country since, like, before the 60s, I think, right?
Yeah.
And people doing backroom abortion stuff. That's happening now in Texas. So they can't say, oh, my gosh, I can't believe that they're doing this in 2000-whatever. It's because when you start peeling back legislation that you fought hard for to stop that exact thing from happening, you are disconnected from the people, and that lobbying stuff is something that you have to fight against. So I think we need to be clear, and leaders need to be clear on giving those kind of examples so that we don't keep going backwards and start forgetting why we had the legislation in the first place.
Yeah, good point. Beautiful segue, actually, into abortions. We have a call from Texas, Peter. Calling in. Good morning. Welcome to the Serious Side. Pete, how are you doing this morning?
Yes, how are you? It's Pete. I'm actually from New York. How's everybody?
New York? Okay, sorry about that. Got the information mixed up.
I just got the link on the Facebook. I started listening in about the abortion. So, you know, pretty much I just wanted to make a point that, you know, I have a friend who's already, you know, elderly. He's about 45. And, you know, they're a couple. And pretty much they're looking to adopt a kid, but all these agencies are turning them down because of their age, because, you know, she might have a past because she's been going to the hospital and things like that. So, you know, there's people out here that want kids, you know, and can't have them, and then there's other people that just want to abort them, and just wanted to let the people know that there's a couple out there that if they don't want their kid, they can go to their website and maybe reach out to them.
What's their website?
Oh, yeah, the website is missyandtony.com.
Okay.
You know, so, and that might be another point there, too, about agencies being a little more lenient about people that really want the kids, because now people go overseas, you know, they go to China, they go to South America. You know, here in America, you know, they're very strict on what kind of kids you can have, you know, as far as your age, as far as your requirements.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, you know, let the people know if they are looking to abort, you know, that they should look into these agencies. You know?
Right. So you're saying that basically people should, you know, first of all, it sounds to me that you're not a fan of abortion, and if people are looking to abort their children, they should put their kids in agencies and let loving couples who do not have the ability to produce kids to adopt these children.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. All right, Pete. Well, we appreciate the comment. We appreciate the information, man, and thank you so much for listening to the Serious Side of the J. Ryle Show.
Okay.
Take care. All right. Thanks. Yeah. So, you know, that's something else, too. You know, and I think something we want to talk about a little later on is, you know, abortion and stuff like that and adoption. I think that that's a pretty decent topic. I think we've had conversations about adoption before in the show, but we don't spend a lot of time on it, you know. Maybe that's something we need to look into, Mr. Elias, for future shows, because even though we can talk about aborting, you know, not to abort kids and, you know, put them in the system, there are a lot of kids in the system now. I mean, I don't think, you know, I mean, I hear what he's saying, but I would like to think that there are kids out there available for couples to adopt if they really and truly are looking into adoption. So, but we'll definitely tackle that topic on another day. Go ahead, Jerome. I hear you want to get in.
Yeah, I wanted to say we're not, you know, there was no implying that we were debating abortion or not. I was just saying the rollback of laws and rules and legislation have effects, and we need to be conscious about that. So when you talk about the Republican Party and rolling back some of these laws, Medicaid, Medicare, trying to get rid of Social Security, we had some problems in this country because we did not have a social safety net that allowed, you know, seniors, people whose parents have died, have not rolled over money. You know, they're putting money into these systems that they get paid later. So they actually paid into it, and now they're getting the money back. There is nothing to that. So vilifying that is just not understanding what those systems are and not understanding that Republicans want to take that money that they legislatively can't touch and put them into the free market. They want to make money. They want to steal your money is what they're saying. So they use people by saying, look at them, they're slouching and they're doing this and this and this, whereas that money is securely away from them and they cannot touch it, and they want to touch it so that they can make more money. That is sick as a society. And so we need to clarify that and not get off track on abortion or not abortion. We're not debating that. We're talking about rolling back laws that stop some things from happening in this country that we are now trying to open up the floodgates for.
Absolutely. Well said. All right, let me get everyone's final thoughts on this particular topic. Let me start with you, Dr. Princess Odia. Final thoughts on this topic of women and poor people supporting the GOP. Give me your final thoughts.
Study to show yourself approved. We have to know what we are standing for. And too often we have been accustomed to just, you know, being complacent where we are, or following everyone else, doing what others are doing, and not taking time to study to show ourselves approved.
Well said. Let me go ahead, Jerome, give you another crack at it. Give me your final thoughts on this topic, sir.
Well, my thought is that if you vote your interest, there are people who are deceiving you just to get you to, they're sidetracking you to deceive you to get you to vote for them while they take away something else. So if they're telling you that, nope, they don't want a social safety net, they don't want you to have unions, they don't want you to have pensions, you can't vote for them. And I would advise anybody voting on a Democratic side, if you have a Democrat who wants to get rid of affordable health care or any of those things, run a Democrat against them. We have to stop the onslaught of people pacifying the greater white society just so that they can stay in office. So some people don't want to make waves, and I'm not saying that in a race kind of way. I'm just saying that the standard bearer of politics is find out what the 62-year-old white woman wants and then give them that. And so don't make all our laws based upon, I'm sorry, probably about 72-year-old white woman, but just don't base all of our laws on foolishness, and don't vote for parties that are going to go against unraveling what we've already fought for to have in place.
Good point. Ms. Elias, last word.
Last word is this, man. Look, it's a wealth of information out there. You can find anything you want to as far as what your political candidates are saying. Find out what they're about, what they're talking about, and what they're actually about are two different things. So do your homework, and if they're not voting for the things that you believe in and the things that you want out of a political candidate, don't vote for them.
Well said. All right, folks, coming up next, I'm going to read a letter from a grandmother out of Atlanta, Georgia, special request. We're going to talk about this coming up next. You're listening to The Serious Side on a beautiful Sunday morning. Don't go anywhere, folks. We'll be right back.
This is a test.
As we jump into the second set with laughter, a hearty laughter from Toxic Style. Welcome back in, folks. 347-850-1272.
Hey, show for women, by women. Is your resident map of the South, Mom Little Donna.
Good Sunday morning to you, folks, and welcome into the Serious Side of the TJRS, broadcasting live from the Smooth Jazz Cafe.
Powerhouse Sports Talk Radio.
Welcome back. You are tuning in to the True Purpose Development Show. Tonight, we...
You are listening to the TJRS Radio Network. Network.
Take a second to deal with a group of people that don't have a foundation. no Betty White, no Morris animals, nothing. A group of mammals that are dying at an alarming rate, but it's not mysterious. We all know why. It's the black men killing each other for no reason in this country.
Good morning, folks. It is 12 minutes after the hour. You're listening to The Serious Side of the J. Ryle Show, which happens every Sunday morning right here on the TGRS Radio Network online radio. At its best of calling numbers 347-850-1272. Let's say good morning for the very last time to our panelists, the man who gets the first and last word every Sunday here on The Serious Side, the one and only Mr. Elias. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Good morning, everyone.
And the smartest man in the world, Jerome Esprit, my main man. What's going on, Jerome? How are you?
Hey, I'm good. How you doing?
Doing all right. And, of course, the very lovely Dr. Princess Adeyi, the queen of inspiration. How are you?
Oh, I am doing absolutely fabulous. How is everyone this morning?
Doing great this morning. Ms. Elias, let's take a few minutes to say hello to a few people in our chat. Who's in our chat, sir?
We got Easy Rider, we got a host, a guest, and we got Vanessa in the chat room. Vanessa,
hey,
and Rich Sister
Vanessa.
Was with us too.
Rich Sister was with us as well. Good morning. Also want to say good morning to Margareta. Good morning to you, Lily H. Good morning, Nevelyn C. Hope I said that correctly. Good morning, Aria, I think that's how you pronounce it, A-R-I-A, I think that's how you say that. Good morning and welcome in, and we'll say good morning to a few more people as the show continues. Don't forget, now at the top of the hour, it's on a need-to-know basis with our main man, Jerome Esprit. That's coming up here in about 45 minutes. But until then, we have a lot to get into, and I mentioned at the top of the show that I received an email from a grandmother out of Atlanta, Georgia, and it was an email that asked us to, matter of fact, let me just read the email, and you'll see where we're going with this. Let me pull it up here. Give me a second to pull it up. Once again, you can be a part of the conversation, 347-850-1272. Okay, so now, she asked me not to use her first name, but her name is M. Jennings from Atlanta. It says, hello, Mr. J. I have a special request. I have a grandson who is always getting into trouble. He hangs with the wrong crowd, and I think that he is a member of a gang. His parents are in jail, and I was awarded custody of him. I listened to one of your shows last year about the number of black men in college versus in jail, and it resonated with me. I have been a faithful listener ever since. Now for my request. Could you please talk about young black men killing each other? I'm going to have my grandson listening this morning. Thank you so much, Mr. Ryle and panel, for everything you do. I tell all my friends about your show, and I encourage them to listen, too. Thank you from a concerned grandmother. Well, first of all, we want to say thank you to you for listening to the show, and it kind of hit home with me, Mr. Elias. This is wow. You know, there are people out there who listen to what we talk about, and I always say that the serious side is, you know, intelligent conversations by ordinary people. I mean, you know, obviously, Jerome's a political strategist, so, you know, that's the reason why we get so much detailed information on the political side. But the rest of us are just regular Joe Smoes, people who are living life, people who deal with the trials and tribulations of life. And so, you know, it kind of, you know, she said it resonates with her. It kind of resonated with me, the email. And I almost erased it because I thought it was junk mail, Mr. Elias. So, you know, I want to talk about this because if she has her grandson listening in this morning, I think that it's important. And we talk about, you know, it takes a village to raise a child. You know, I would like to think, Mr. Elias, we are a part of that village, my friend.
Right. We are. We are a part of that village, most definitely. But
so
also,
if that's, go ahead.
Right. No,
go ahead. Go ahead. I thought you were done. Go ahead.
We also have to have, you know, have mentors, man. I mean, you know, this young kid is obviously reaching out for help, and we as African American men need to reach out to this kid and mentor to him. Don't abuse him and don't punish him and say, well, what you're doing wrong. Show him a different way of life. You know, and that's where I believe we all go wrong at in our community. We don't show these young kids, we as men, don't show these kids a different way of life. They only see the one way of life, and that's glorified in the rap videos. That's glorified in the street life that they see. You know, there's a different way of life. There's a lot of ways of making money legally that we don't show our African and young African American men. And that's what we need to do as African American men, show our young men how to make money legally. The entrepreneurs.
Let me ask you a question, because now here's where the fight's going to begin right here. My question to you is how long do we provide cover for kids who are out there doing the wrong thing? How long do we turn the other cheek and say, well, you know, the reason why you're in this position is because of this, this, and this, instead of saying, look, the reason why you're in this position, tell you what, go in the bathroom and look in the mirror. Because we can sit here and say all day long that kids should turn their lives around and we should be a positive influence for children, Dr. Princess Odia. I have no doubt about that. But the problem that I have is, you know, no one's stopping that kid from getting up and going to school in the morning. No one's stopping that kid from not doing their homework in most cases. Now, I know there are extreme circumstances and that there are situations where you can point out where, you know, because of whatever reasons the kid is not getting what they need to get. But a lot of these kids that are out here doing these things, it's all about being a part of a gang. It's all about flashing money. It's all about being disrespectful for your parents. I mean, I look at this show on A&E called Scared Straight, Beyond Scared Straight, and it's amazing some of the stories of these children, right, that are going through these programs. And you know, they talk to their parents. Their parents are loving parents. Parents are trying to, you know, get ahead in life. But these kids are like, hey, the hell with that? See, I can make quick money on the street. Well, what do we say to that segment of our population, Dr. Princess Adea?
Whew, that's so much. And
exactly.
Well, the first thing I want to say is this. You mentioned they just want to go out here and get with the gang. They just want to go out here and talk back to their parents. They just want to do this. They just want to do that. What you are not, and this is something that most people do. We hone in on what they're doing, and we're not allowing ourselves to understand where they came from, to understand their story, and to fill in the gap that's missing in their life that has actually brought them to the resolve, what brought them to the resolve that you see right now. So
that makes sense.
So it's important that a lot of these children, and statistically it goes into this. I actually, for one of our programs, the youth development program, our team got together and they did the marketing research on it. And it's true that most of these things that you see, the gang-related issues, the bullying, the suicide, the murders, et cetera, the elements that children are now faced with, like diabetes. I mean, you would think they were all, like, older, you know, walking around 17, 16 years old with diabetes, you know, et cetera. These things a lot of times stem from depression and stress. A lot of times, because they do go home, you may see that they have a family that seems to be the loving, supporting family. I know of a very close family like that. It's in my circle, and from the outside looking in, you've got grandmother there. It seems like family support is there because there's presence of family, but it has to be the most negative situation that a child could ever try to endure. Why is it negative? A lot of times, the children may be living with grandparents a lot of times because their parents are not able to take care of them or whatever. But a lot of times the parents are not listening to the child. Children have certain dreams, certain things that they want to do in life, and they feel that they are not able to do that. Sometimes parents are not supporters of it. No, you're not going to do this. You're going to do this way. So then you get a child that rebels. You have parents that are going through financially. So even though they may have a roof over their head, the parents are dealing with depression and stress themselves, thus not there mentally for the child, not able to, not realizing their ability to give love for the child at that time because they're having difficulties with themselves, okay? So then the children,
begin to wonder. A lot of times, majority of the time, they wonder. They wonder where they can find the love, where it seems to be, where it's gonna, where you know they'll be able to get the money. Maybe
okay.
The parents are having difficulty feeding them or doing whatever mm-hmm. in the home, and then people are saying, well, what's the problem? The parent's saying, get your butt to school and bring me all A's. Mm-hmm. And the child is saying, well, you want me to get you all A's, but hell, you know, I can barely focus at home. You and Dad are fussing mm-hmm. all the time. You're crying on the phone. You're always on the phone or Facebook or Twitter. You don't even talk mm-hmm. to me. You don't even know me. Mm-hmm. So we're losing our children because we're not understanding them. But then we
okay.
want to talk about where they are. But let's understand
okay.
them.
Okay.
Them.
All right. All right, Jerome, what say you?
Okay. First of all, I saw EZ's in a chat room who said that they need mentors. And I hope that kid is listening if you have a chance to put him on and let him listen to the show. It is our responsibility as adults. I watch my words on this program like we should on the serious side. You watch
yeah.
the words to stop giving these contradictory statements and information so that we take on a responsibility, especially mentoring folks, of giving out good information. We can't say to young kids, we're just going to give you all the information and let you decide, because that's not smart. If you look at
right.
a baby, you know, when they're born, they put on their mother's shoes, they try to walk like their father. You're always
yep.
Mimicking. And so it is our responsibility to make sure that we get mentors or people in front of you so that the people who you want to emulate have some kind of value to a positive upbringing, whatever that may be to you. Because
right.
some things are not for all people. And even as adults, I mean, I mentor adults all day. That's what they call, that's what people call me as a strategist. They just say, I don't know how to do something. Can you teach me or tell me how to do this? These are grown, but these are people way older than me that call
right.
me and ask me to do that. So we need to take and understand that we can't just blame youth. You don't point the finger at those kids and say, this is your fault, you need to get your butt out of bed and you need to do this. We kind of need to guide them. We are guides to each other, not just to young people or old people. We need to be better listeners and actually work on that. And we need to understand culturally it's, that saying it takes a village, it really does. And so all the information that I have, it comes from other people and other sources. I was like that as a young child, that I sat around older folks. And so
right.
I don't even think, if you ask me about who I think that I am, I'm just a makeup of all those people who influenced me. I don't really see myself as a specific identity. That's why when you say the smartest person in the world or whatever you say, that's why I don't pay attention to that, because the point is
Jerome.
That I, no, it's not that I don't pay attention, like I'm devaluing it.
Thank
no,
you,
no,
thank
no
you.
I'm not devaluing it. What I'm saying to you is
yeah.
that I don't think of myself as being anything, because I'm a makeup of all of those people who influenced me. My aunts and uncles have such a great influence on me. I
mm-hmm.
mimic my cousin, who was a great athlete. I played basketball in college. I mimic everybody else. So I'm a makeup
right.
of all of those people. It's a tribute to them, not to me as a person. So
I
we have
it.
To get into mentoring and understanding that it's about the influences of the things that they admire or the things that they show interest in. Find out what that child has interest in and steer them away from negativity before it grabs them, because by default, they say, well, I can't do what I want to do, so I might as well do that. Just get them into something that they have interest in.
You know, we talk about things like this, and I do hope the young man's listening, and once again, I do appreciate, and we appreciate, I should say, the fact that, you know, we can have some type of positive impact on a person. You know, one of the things I always think about, Mr. Elias, and let me just give you an example of what I saw yesterday. I was walking my dogs yesterday, and I stumbled up on a park with my young daughter, and they're on this swing set. Well, actually, you know how they have the newfangled parks where it has a little slide, you climb into this little house and you can slide out or hit the monkey bars or whatever. So up in this compartment this little house that they have, there's this young boy and this young girl. They had to be about, I don't know, freshmen in high school maybe, young kids. You know, his pants is hanging out to the back of his ass, and he's in here, you know, he's kissing on this girl and stuff. And I'm like, wait a minute. So I made it a point to walk very close by where they were. They kind of, you know, they broke up a little bit, but, you know, they really didn't miss a beat all that much. And I thought about that. So I said, you know, dang, back in the day, you know, when we saw adults who were authority, you know, we didn't curse in front of adults. You know, at least we did. Now, I can't speak for everyone, but I knew when I saw a grown person, all illegal activities that I was doing ceased, because I just, in my mind, thought that all parents had this secret network that they could communicate with each other. And even though you may not know my mama, some way you do know my mama, and that what I'm doing will get back to my mom. And I look at today's kids. I remember sitting at a track meet at one of my daughter's track meets, and these you know, teenage boys were behind me. And when I tell you, Mr. Elias, they were cursing up a storm. I turned around and said, "Hey, what the hell is wrong with y'all? Don't y'all see me sitting here and the rest of these adults?" "Oh, sorry, sir." I'm like, they have no respect for authority. They have no respect for authority. And for me, there's no reason. Listen, Dr. Prince Odia, what you were saying is absolutely true. There are situations where kids, they grow up in homes where, you know, it's hard for them to concentrate on doing their homework. They grow up in adverse situations and circumstances. But what do we do for the kids who have every opportunity to be positive, right? And I'm going to go to you, Mr. Elias, because I know, no offense, Dr. Princess Odia, but you're going to go down this true purpose thing that I really don't want to hear this morning. But, Mr. Elias, for the kids.
I'll give you my opportunity to say what I'm
okay, well,
say.
I will come
we'll
to you
to
after I talk
woman.
To Mr. Elias. God bless you and the true purpose. Mr. Elias.
Mm-hmm.
My thing is that what about the kid who has all these opportunities and they still choose to go down the wrong path? How do you reach them?
You know what, Jay? there's kids that are rich that go down the wrong path. So
okay. How do we reach them?
How do you reach them?
Well,
You know something, man? We both had a partner who his parents gave him everything. Growing
true.
Up, they didn't teach him responsibility as a kid, and
they
to
tried.
Me, you know, well, did they? Like giving him everything?
Well, okay, well, let's talk about him. And we're not going to say his name, but it was a situation.
Right.
You're right. Here's where the faults were. This is where, in my opinion, I think they went wrong. Look, his mama was a disciplinarian. I mean, she really and truly tried to keep him on the path of righteousness. She was no different than my mom. Here's where I think it got crossways. Is where any time he found himself in a situation that could be detrimental to him, and I'm not saying that he would die or whatever the case may be, but he got himself in a jam. She would bail him out, right? So he never hit the ground. He never had to suffer. He never knew what the consequences were because she would never allow him to do that. It reminds me of that scene in Ray. You know, when the mom was watching Ray navigate through the little hut, and as much as she wanted to say, "Hey, don't touch that stove," she watched him and said, "Okay, he needs to learn on his own. He needs to understand that if he touches that, his hand will get burned." The problem with that guy is that the mom would never let him get to that point, Mr. Elias. Do we agree on that?
Well, we agree on that. So, I mean, you got to teach your children what you ask me the problem. I said, well, you know, you got to teach your children responsibility. You know, growing up as a kid, I had to earn it. You know, I used to always tell the story to kids I mentored to. My father was a strict disciplinarian. He was. And, you know, if I caught him out somewhere and he was out with his partners and he wanted to play big time, I said, "Dad, can you loan me a couple of dollars?" He said, "Oh, yeah, son. Here's a 10 spot." And then I would walk away and thought I had done something with my father. And when I got back home, my father said, "Nah, you got that $10 for me. What are you gonna what kind of work are you gonna do for that $10?" You know?
I'm sorry.
So he wouldn't
I didn't
say that
to laugh. I'm sorry.
He wouldn't say that in front of his friends because he was playing big time in front of his friends. But it taught me the responsibility that hey, you're not gonna get anything in this life for free. You got to work for everything you get, whether it be your father or your mother or whoever. You got to work for your. You got to work for things in life, and I think that's what we're missing out on the youth right now. Mm-hmm. I mean, and we always talk to our youth about, hey, you know, go to work for this place or go to work for that place. You know, I always tell the youth, get your own business, start your own business, try and make something. That look at the public and see what you can do to cater to the public and then capitalize on that. That's what we go wrong at. We always tell our youth to go work for someone else. No, start your own business. Have your own business. Be an entrepreneur.
Okay, now it's time for our inspirational response. Dr. Princess O.D., what say you?
Come on.
Okay, this is what I am going to say. Victory and challenge are equal as it, you know, relates to our development and the priority in our lives, especially our youth. A lot of times we try to shield our youth from life, and what's critical is for them to have balance. There's a young gentleman that's on our youth development team. His name is Myron Fontaine. I don't know if he was on the GRS radio network, but he's on the True Purpose Development Show. And he's the son to Myron, to Eli Fontaine, the greatest saxophonist in history, right? Now, this young gentleman had what people would say everything. And he did a crime that landed him 25 years in prison. And he talks about now that he's out and he's out mentoring, et cetera, he talks about his sense of entitlement and how he felt that because he had everything, he was entitled, and he went and he took it to another level, okay? So despite all of the success of his family, he made the choice. Recently in my city, there were three young black guys that I actually know very well. They're kids that go to school out here in Bloomfield Hills. Two of them had full ride scholarships. This just happened. Full-ride scholarships to college on basketball, even had Michael Jordan personally come to the game who was scouting them, or at least one of them. Sense of entitlement. There's a necessity for balance. A lot of times you have a parent, and we can't go all into that. I just want to say that it is important as a parent, for us to understand that their personal, their mental development as well as, I'm going to say, business development is critical. And in that process of business development, you're teaching them how to handle business, how to handle the important things of life. We negate that with our children. We try to shield them from hurt, so we'll give them everything. Then you have the parent that says, no, you can't do it this way. You've got to do it that way. We haven't allowed our children even to be free in their thinking.
You're going down an avenue that you and I are going to start arguing, but go ahead, because, you know, I'm not a fan of that at all. So go ahead.
Well, you know what? Guess what? We could continue. Look, these our children today they have come in a society where they can have and create anything that they want. And for us to negate the opportunities that they have a free thinking and creating their future, creating it, we should be ashamed. A lot of times children...
What do you mean by that? Why should we be ashamed? Why, Dr. Princess Odea? We're talking about kids now. We're not talking about adults.
I'm going to give you a prime example. I'm going to use my daughter, for example. My daughter, when she was getting ready to go into the 11th grade, she told me that summer. Now listen, I am a liberal parent, but I guide them with a rope. I give them freedom, and I've guided them with my rope. But I've allowed them to be free. Some things, and we've talked about some of the things that I've experienced in their development. Now, what my daughter told me was that she said, listen, Ma, I'm not going back to school. I said, what are you talking about? She says, I'm not going back to school in the 11th grade. And I laughed. I said, okay, so what are your plans? My plans? Well, you know, I have a business, and I want to work my plan and blah, blah. And she went on her path and what she was going to do. Now, I sat there and listened, and then I said, okay, Well, I need to see the plan. So you can't tell me that you're just not going to go to school, because I need to see your plan and what you have. And I put her to the test, and she went back, and I'll never forget the one day. It was a Saturday, and she spent the whole day. She came with her entire plan written. She wrote it down. She brought it to me. Now, I shared with her the opportunities that were available in school. I said, now, you know, with what you want to do, if you go to school, you have the opportunity of getting access to free funding, free scholarships in this area, and blah, 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 which would better serve your purpose, you know? So we had a communication, an opportunity to communicate, okay?
Okay.
Now, she eventually, of course, you know, I even called her school, talked to her principal. We had a meeting. I said, listen,
okay,
my daughter is telling me she's not going to go to school. She doesn't see any point with the format that you have that it will serve her in her life to purpose, okay? That teacher, they had a program which was a project development program for the youth that they were thinking of starting. Well, now, yes, my daughter went on, and right now she's 4.0 student this year, and she's graduating this year, and
all
she has her plan. Now, there's a flip side to this. The flip side is a flip alternative to this. I know of another child who had the same dreams but was not free to live it. And that child was starting to go down a path of just like, F it. I'm not doing anything. I said I don't want to do this, and there was no one at the time to talk to him and really hear where he was coming from. The freedom to think, the freedom to create, the freedom of choice that we do negate when it comes to our children oftentimes. We are not hearing them. We're giving them what we did back in the day. Back in the day,
I understand. You've talked long enough. Thank you so much. We get the point. Here's the deal. And this is where you and I are going to disagree, and I don't want to turn this into a spat between you and I, because I think that when parents, and Ms. Delias, I know you're not a parent, but I know, well, let me go to Jerome. I know Jerome's not a parent either, but I know Jerome is a mentor, and I know that he talks to, you know, kids and things of that nature. I think when adults... Well, yeah, you're right. you may have a bunch of kids out there. I don't know. You're right. you know, the thing is that when you look at, I think what parents try to do is not trying to make kids do things the way they did it back in the day. I think that a parent's job is to teach our kids life lessons. Because, you know, it amazes me when an adult is trying to negotiate with an 11 and 12-year-old kid. Now, keep in mind, this kid has only been on Earth for 12 years. And half of those years were developmental years. There's no way that kid knows what life has in store in those 12 years or those little 6 years that they've been old enough to wipe their nose and do whatever. And I think what parents' jobs are is to teach their kids. And life lessons help them do that. They know that when they did things like this, here's what the end consequences are. If I know that there are four doors here, and I know that through my experience, when I walked through door number two, I got hit upside my head and kicked in my ass, I'm going to do what's in the best interest of my children and say, hey, look, don't go down that avenue. Do not open door two. Now, they're going to do what they want to do. But my job as a parent, Jerome, is to try to guide and teach them. It's not trying to enforce my ways on them. I'm trying to teach them so they'll be ready for the next step. What say you?
I actually don't know what to say there. I mean, I think that everybody has their, your kids are just not your mini-me's, right? And so people usually tell their kids, here's what you are going to do one way or another. But at the same time, you know, when you choose to have kids, you choose some responsibility. You just can't say, I'm too tired and I just don't want to hear you do A, B, and C. You can't get old on them, right? You can't just say, you can't opt out you don't want
to
do something, right? Because a part of their development is being curious and wanting to go out and look and find their own way. But more importantly than all of this is that whole European model, of your kids are little people and let them go through and discover and do whatever they want, you can't neglect your responsibility in mentoring your own child. There's a responsibility in there that says that, hey, you have to be a guide. You're not their friend, and that's not your classmate, right?
Right.
You are
right.
Held in responsibility, responsible of guidance, and that is pretty much the thing. You can't. I mean, I don't know even a good way to say that, but there's nothing that says that's a good approach to anybody's development is to let them off on their own and let them do what the heck they want to do. Who says that?
Yeah, you know, yeah, and that's my point. So now, listen, I want to play a clip from a young man, and I see we have a phone call. We'll get to the phone call after the clip. I want to play a clip of from a young man that's a young cat, looks like he used to be involved with gangs. And the reason why I want to play this clip is because, you know, I'm starting to get some feedback here and saying that, you know, young people don't want to take responsibility. And there are some young people who actually care about what's going on in their community. And there are young people out there who are trying to reach some of these young knuckleheads who are out here, you know, doing these types of things, you know, flashing gang signs. You know, we'll talk about Deshaun Jackson here in a few as well. But I want to play the clip because I think it's important for people who are in that age range to hear other people who are, you know, similar as far as, you know, race and age and all those different things. I think it's important for those kids to understand that there are kids out there who are trying to get them to turn the other way. We'll listen to the clip. We'll get to the phone call. And we'll wrap it up after this. Don't go nowhere.
And now we're going to take a second to deal with a group of people that don't have a foundation. No Betty White, no Morris Animal, nothing. A group of mammals that are dying at an alarming rate, but it's not mysterious. We all know why. And this is the black man killing each other for no reason in this country. My main focus is going to be Chicago, because Chicago has been getting, you know, really flat for this whole situation. The spotlight's on Chicago because it's happening so heavy in Chicago. I got the stats pulled up right here. Alright. Actually, in Chicago, the deaths in Chicago are down 34% from last year the same time. 34%. This is an accomplishment. 34%. And what's happening in the city of Chicago is the cops are patrolling the high gang violence areas more. And that's contributing to the percentage going down. Still way too high, in my opinion. It's still way, way too high. And the thing about this whole, you know, gang mentality and the mentality of the hood. But this gang violence blows my mind. The gang mentality blows my mind. I made a video about gangs before. And I have the people mad at me, like, you don't understand, son. Like, they was mad. And I still don't understand. Years later, I still don't understand why you would join something where your only two outcomes, jail, prison, or dead. This is it. So, that doesn't make sense to me. And the white man don't gotta kill. They ain't gotta run around hanging us no more. No. They got it. We ain't gonna do that. We gonna sit back, chill, make them believe that, you know, these are territories and streets that they own. How do you own a street? How do you own a street? They dumb. It doesn't even matter. Let's just watch the news. Not even kick back, watch the news. We kill each other for no reason. Colors, gangs, territory. I mean, color, territory, you know, drugs, money. When there's plenty enough money to go around. And this is a comment I made on one of my other videos. I think I made it about Black History Month. If black people, black men, men, could go one day without killing each other, just one day we set aside where, you know, no killing of each other, that will blow the establishment's mind.
All right, let's get out to the phone lines. Mr. Elias, man, who do we have on the line, sir?
We have Steve on the line with us from Minneapolis.
Steve, good morning. Hey, Steve from Indianapolis. Good morning, Steve. How are you? Welcome to the Serious Side. What's your comment, my friend?
Good morning, everyone. Beautiful morning. And you know what? I'll be real honest with you guys. You know what changed lives, what helped change my life as well? Good paying jobs. That's what we need in the black community. Dr. Claude Anderson, all this talking, all these pep talks, all these rallies, at the end of the day, you got to put your money where your mouth is. We need good paying jobs in the black community. And we have to first acknowledge white supremacy. I don't care if it's the year 2050. White supremacy has to be acknowledged as part of the problem. You see, as black people, we keep running in circles with the problem. We keep running in circles about what the problem is. They want to blame blacks. Okay, you're the problem. Black people are the problem. You have to acknowledge white supremacy. When you don't acknowledge it, they make it seem like, okay, the young people, they're the problem. The gangsters, they're the problem. No. The problem is economics. Dr. Claude Anderson. Economics are the problem in the black community. And until we see a black person giving another black person a job is 1,000 times more powerful than sitting down and doing a pep talk about why you shouldn't commit crime and why you should be a good guy and all this. A good paying job, which I'm very lucky to have, that has a more powerful impact than that talking will ever do. Because that's what white children have. White folks have an infrastructure, a community. They turn on television. They see themselves on TV. We don't have infrastructure in our community. We don't have that. And we want to acknowledge everything else as being the problem instead of acknowledging the economics and acknowledging the white supremacy. We run in circles with, okay, we want to talk about this. We need counselors. We need the fathers aren't there and all these other problems. The foundation is the economics in the problem with white supremacy. Jay, why don't people acknowledge these problems as being real? And a good job goes up. I've seen good paying jobs completely turn people around from their gangster activities. When they get a good paying job, their minds completely change and turn around. I've seen it my own eyes. Jay, have you seen it?
Yes, Steve. I mean, and thanks for the call. He's right. I mean, the bottom line is that a good-paying job goes a long way. It's all about actions. You know, we've had this conversation on the show before where we talked about how, you know, we can sit here and talk all this positive influence. We want people to really, you know, the economy is getting well and, you know, the unemployment rate is down into the 6th percentile range. I mean, unbelievable, you know. The amount of jobs that President Obama has added since he's been in office, I think the number is, what, 5.2 million at this point? I can't recall. I'll get that information for you guys. The fact that, you know, the Bush administration lost over 600,000 jobs and the president has already at this point gotten us over to the 5 million job mark, and that's just in the private sector alone. You know, you're right about that. But then we always say there are people at home, though, that are still unemployed. What does that mean to me? I can't take the feel-good speech and make my stomach stop hurting from hunger pains. I can't take the feel-good speech and have my lights cut on. I can't pay my bills with the feel-good speech. Bottom line is, trickle down hasn't trickled down to me. So when we sit around and think about these types of things, and what Steve said is absolutely correct, hey, give me a job. But let me say this, and I'll let everyone, I want everyone to give us their final thoughts because we're definitely running behind here. When we talk about, matter of fact, I don't even want to go down that avenue because I think it's going to open up a whole different conversation. Mr. Elias, let me go ahead and let me start with you, Dr. Princess O'Dea. Give me your final thoughts on this topic because we really got to get going. I do not want to miss on a need-to-know basis, but we got to get there. So give me your final thoughts on this particular topic.
Okay. I am going to say that it is important for us to pay attention and listen to our children. It's also important for the bridge that is a gap, for us to bridge the gap of communication between the adults and our youth so that we can hear and understand them in their development process. It is important for us to give them the resources and tools needed for them to be positive, creative thinkers, for them to also understand, because a lot of these children are in adverse situations. They're in communities that are economically hurting. And as a result, they can't see the forest for they can't see the forest for the trees. So I want us to choose to really pay attention and listen to our children. I want us to understand that it's important for us to also address the situation of depression and stress that they are dealing with in the community, so that they can think and be free to think, so that they can do the things that they're called to do. And I invite everybody to visit bountifulgroup.com because we have a
Okay, wait a minute. It's not your final thoughts, Dr. Princess LD. It's just your final thought on this particular topic. Thank you very much.
Yes, that is
Jerome
that
is free.
Is Thank you.
Final thought on this topic.
All right, well, you know, I agree with Steve. I mean, I think I probably said that a billion times in my head. I know I probably said it in different venues, but I talk about that all the time. This almost covers every topic that we talked about today, but it's a part of what the Republican agenda is. When in 2009 they put up this huge jobs bill, and Congress has not funded since 2009. So the problem is that we're getting all these private sector jobs. So all the public sector jobs are gone because they stopped funding all of these public sector things that we have money for. And that hurts adversely the black community. And it's hard to tell a kid to voluntarily starve, right? And so if you're in a gang or you're trying to make money and you're finding illegal ways to do it, that's an economic hardship. That is never, you're never going to eradicate bad behavior if people are starving. It's not going to happen. So we need to take that responsibility and understand how our politics are influencing our youth and why our youth are turning out that way, because no matter what you say about behavior and etiquette, we still have grown mobsters in every race and religion in this doggone country, because poverty will make you do some things that you never thought that you would do. So we have to be conscious about that and make sure that we press forward to that we help our youth have a future. That is our job as adults, to help our youth have a future. It's not their job to create it themselves, not all the time. And by the way, we're not exempt from that too, because we are still learning as well. So nobody has this stuff mastered. Even if you're in your 40s, you don't have this stuff mastered.
Hey, good point, man. Well said. Mr. Elias, man, give me your final thought on this particular topic, my friend.
Well, I'm just gonna, you know, mirror what Steve said. Jobs are important to us. I mean, without our jobs and the money that we make, who would we be? Where would we be in life? You know. So I mean, you know, my brother always says that we're all a couple of paychecks away from the welfare line, and it's true. You lose your job, you don't get a job for a year, man. You know, what would you do to feed your family? What would you do to put forth your family to make sure your family was fed? So, you know, you got to agree it's an economic thing, man. It's all about economics. But to that young man out there, hey, man, look to your community. If you're listening to this, look to your community. See what your community needs legally and go after that. And, hey, man, you know something? You could be the next entrepreneur millionaire that we have. Never sell yourself short.
Good words. Grandma Jenkins, I'm going to ask you to have your grandson hang around for final thoughts, because I have a very special message for him. All right, folks, coming up next, before we go, a quick look at some stories that made headlines this past week, plus Chatterbox, and coming up in a few minutes on a need-to-know basis with Jerome Spring. We'll be right back after this.
I am the only one who is special in her heart. Your thoughts, dude.
Man, you know, are we doing all we can for the veterans that are coming back from the war, man? I mean, if this guy said he had head trauma and the rest of that stuff, you know, are we doing all we can for people that are traumatized in the war? You know, I took a different point of view from what we usually take because, you know something, man, I've never been in war, so I don't know anybody that has been in war, but man, if this guy went through all that, man, we need to take a look at our veterans and try to help them more.
Jerome, will they ever find this plane, man? Even though there are reports that they think they may have located wreckage again, do you think they'll ever find this plane?
I know they won't stop looking, but I don't know. You know, I mean, we're talking thousands of miles of ocean, so it probably will. I mean, I'm sure the technology will do it, but it'll just probably... You know, it took a couple of years for that French fight, right? About 3 years. So sometimes it takes time.
You're absolutely correct about that. Dr. Princess Odilia, if Hillary Clinton runs in 2016, will you vote for her?
I started to say I remain silent.
Well, we can arrange that.
I remain silent. But I will say this: I would not consider for sure. You definitely are considering.
Okay, good. I never thought when you said remain solid that there would be words coming in behind that. But hey, you know, our definitions are completely different. And on that note, Chatterbox, final thoughts from the chat room and from social media. Since we're up against time, we can only do two. Mr. Elias, you got them. Read them to me, sir, if you would, please.
Easy Rider says on April 4th, the Huffington Post did post an article on the death of Martin Luther King, and there was only one person who commented about it. Usually articles have many comments. And then Vanessa, our colleague Vanessa, she says, Republicans do hate union, and I think they're crazy.
She said Republicans do hate union. She thinks that they're crazy. Absolutely.
I think they are crazy.
All right, folks, coming up here real quick, it's time for another edition of Have You Seen Me? And then after that, what I've been waiting for on a need-to-know basis with Jerome Esprit. But first,
Let's get this out the way. We'll be back on the other side.
Sir, have you seen this girl?
Hello, friends. I'm Jay, the host of The Jay Rouse Show and the serious side of The Jay Rouse Show. And it's time for another edition of Have You Seen Me?, where we put the spotlight on missing children of color. Tonight, we're heading to Georgia. Gwinnett Police is looking for a 26-year-old mother who hasn't been seen since Saturday morning. Police said Angela Robin was last seen in the parking lot of the Steeplechase Apartments in unincorporated Norcross at about 6 a.m. Saturday morning. Robin hasn't been seen or heard from since that time, and authorities said foul play has not been ruled out. Robin dropped off her 3-year-old daughter with a friend Friday before heading to a party in Atlanta later that evening, police said. Friends and authorities searched the wooded area around the apartments but found nothing of note, according to a news release from the Gwinnett County Police Department. Robert is described as 4'11", approximately 120 pounds, with long hair that is black with blonde tips. Anyone with information about Robert's whereabouts should call the Gwinnett County Police Department at 770-513-5300. Once again, that number is 770-513-5300. Pray for the safe return of this beautiful young lady. We ask that you pray for her family. If you'd like to see someone featured on Have You Seen Me, all you have to do is pick up the phone right now if you're listening to a live broadcast and dial 347-850-1272, 347-850-1272, and leave the information with one of our producers. Or you can go to our Facebook page and type in the TGRS Radio Network and leave the information there, or you can contact me direct on Facebook at J-A-Y-R-I-L, that's J Ryle, or you can shoot us an email to the J Ryle Show at live.com. That's the J Ryle Show at live.com. Spelled J-R-I-L Show at live.com. We pray for all people missing regardless of color. And until next time, I'm Jay Ryle, and you've been listening to Have You Seen Me?, where we focus our attention on missing people of color. Take care.
Somewhere in America, a mother is crying.
A family is torn.
A child is lost,
missing, or even abducted.
We need your help.
Contact your local police station for a listing of missing children in your area,
or log on to www.missingkids.com
to obtain further information regarding missing children in your local community.
There's the next face you see.
Maybe a child that will need your help.
Help support America's missing.
You are listening to the TJRS Radio Network.
Alright folks, it's time for a need to know basis. My main man Jerome Esprit. Jerome, man, the floor is yours. What do you have this morning, sir?
All right, so we just start out with the economy. The dollar hit a 10-week high against the Japanese yen. U.S. factory hiring and factory orders were up. ADP did show that 191,000 private sector jobs were added last month. So they expect increased productivity and all of that stuff for the next month. Now, if you didn't know, the U.S. created 8.9 million jobs in the last 49 months. Now, if you can't go back 49 months, it would be the month that the president signed the health care law. We're up 49 consecutive straight months of positive job growth. So now we regained the 8.8 million jobs lost during the recession during George Bush's term. Now, since that's a lot of numbers, just look at it this way. 2.3 million jobs in the last year. were gained. Unemployment rate stays steady because more people are coming back into the job force.
Now, right. Jerome, let me ask you this, Jerome. Now, the Republicans, they are always talking about how Obamacare is a job killer. This proves that they're freaking lying again.
Well, they've always been lying. I think anybody who is worth their salt as a journalist should have just looked at these numbers. I mean, you can easily look them up. That is negligent, and that's why you actually have to stop watching sensationalized news. That's why we're talking about health care, because there's nothing going on in the economy that we can say, your gas prices are going up. They try to scare you. But 49 straight months of private job growth. And we would be a whole lot better off, again, if they would pass the laws that help public employment, public sector employment. We're still laying off at high numbers and getting rid of people, but hopefully those numbers will turn around because the economy is going a whole lot better. Oh, I'm sorry.
Cool.
It is back past all of that other stuff. Now, the nonpartisan Urban Institute estimates that about 5 million Americans have become newly insured over the last year, and an early indication that the Affordable Health Care Act achieved one of its chief aims in reducing the number of Americans without health coverage. Now, the Obama administration announced this week that over 7 million enrolled in health plans under the exchanges set up by the law, but they estimated about 17.6% of Americans between 18 and 65 were uninsured in 2013, compared to 15.2 now. So that constitutes 5.4 million new insurees. See how you do the math? Everybody says they can't figure out who was insured and who wasn't. Just go by the numbers. All right. Florida A&M University. I know, see, I had to throw it out fast because at least people can play this in the rewind, say that they never heard that before. These are new stories that's out. You can go check them out. Now, Florida A&M University is one of the nation's historical black colleges and universities. So it has signed a partnership with a black television news channel, DTNC, making the university the home of the nation's only black-owned cable news network. The network will be operated and managed out of their School of Journalism and Graphic Communication. So it's going to be coming out of Florida A&M. Black news channel. All right.
Mm-hmm. And it's not BET, people.
No, not BET. Thank God they're not doing news. But anyway, all right. So the secretly created Cuban Twitter heard a little unrest that the U.S. tried to create a Twitter to cause unrest in Cuba after the many years of trying to assassinate Castro, after poisoning him, killing about 100 people, the unsuccessful Bay of Pigs. We are still obsessed in this country about killing Cuba. That's amazing to me. But their mission was to launch a messaging network that can reach 100 of thousands of Cubans, and they wanted to hide the network from the Cuban government and set up some companies through a Cayman Island bank account and recruit executives and not tell them that they had ties to the U.S. So when you hear people in other countries say the U.S. is foul, this is why.
Wow.
Yeah, people got maced and thrown in jail for Occupy Wall Street, and we have no sympathy for them, but we're causing unrest in other countries. So amazing. All right. Yeah, so now global energy company Anadarko Petroleum,
they're big in Houston.
It's in Houston? Man, they're going to pay $5.15 billion in years of litigation over cancer and other health problems across the United States caused by pollution of uranium deposits and rocket fuel processing.
Wow.
$5 billion.
Wow.
Yeah, the Bushes would have let them off. Out of Texas, they would have been like, nah. $5 billion fine. So the Obama administration is still going after these fools. By the way, in court, I forgot the story. Manhattan court stenographer with a drinking problem jeopardized the outcome of more than 30 verdicts by repeatedly typing, I hate my job, instead of the actual trial dialogue.
Wow.
Hey, I didn't make that up. And now, the estate of Nina Simone, like her former husband and business partner, in court, they just ruled that he should not have legal rights to a number of her recordings, is what a federal magistrate found. So he's not getting any money. Like when people die and sue the state a little bit later, trying to get her money. Now, and also in court, a ruling with national implications, Northwestern University said it will appeal the National Labor Relations Board decision that Northwestern football players are school employees and can unionize. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you saw that story.
Yeah. We're going to talk about that one next week. Yeah.
All right. But they plan on appealing. A lot of people don't know college athletes, if you get hurt playing a sport, your parents' insurance has to cover them. The university don't even cover
you. Right. Yeah. Don't get me started on that. I get pissed off every time
I think
about that.
I have to make billions of dollars. All right.
Yeah.
So Dallas, Texas, approved a partial ban on single bag use, school use bags, increasing the odds of litigations by retailers. They wanted to charge customers 5 cents per plastic bag that you get out of the grocery store. But they want the grocery store to charge you for single use bags. Isn't Texas the state of no regulations?
Wow. Well, no taxes either, but, you know, the state taxes, you know, are as high as hell. But yeah, you know how it is, man.
The U.S. Transportation Department has issued a rule requiring rear view technology in all new cars and light trucks. Final rule will require all new vehicles under 10,000 pounds to begin in May 1st, 2018, that will have a rear visibility standard. So you're going to have cameras in the back of your cars now. That's going to be standard in 2018. Okay, it's going to be there. Now, a former Texas deputy constable, I don't know what's going on in Texas, but he sued for sexual harassment from his female boss and was awarded $567,000 by a Galveston County jury. Anyway, she was his boss. He sued her because she put her shirt over his head to motorboard her. That's what the testimony is saying. He was awarded $200,000 more than he was asked for. Because here's what she did during her testimony. She admitted during her testimony that she did joke with him about a chunky chick night at the strip club that she might perform. And she had no memory of attempting a lap dance, but she said she denied pulling her blouse over her head, even though she did that to some of the other deputies. But she didn't remember if it was him.
Wow.
All right. So in Massachusetts, there's a bizarre proposal that couples that are going through divorce and have children must seek a judge's permission to have sex in their marital home. Now, not only that, couples on the brink of divorce, they won't be able to go to dinner or have their divorce finalized until they prove that they haven't had sex after they applied for divorce.
That's true. That's true. That is true.
Yeah, so the bill bans any sort of romantic justice between the two separating people that is not pre-approved by a judge. So you have to actually wait 120-day waiting period for unconsensual, non-fault divorce and about a year for a fault divorce. That's a residency requirement. So you have to stay together for a year to get a divorce. If y'all go to dinner or a kid's birthday,
where is this?
This is in Massachusetts. Now the Republican who put that bill up said that it was by request, which means he disagreed with it, but he was filing it on behalf of a constituent.
That's what
he said. Go ahead. What you say?
No. No. Go ahead. He was saying something. I think he dropped.
Okay.
Go ahead. Finish your thought, Drew.
Now a new study. Our initial gut reaction is better at identifying a liar than our conscious mind. Now, research found that when it comes to detecting deceit, automatic feelings may be more accurate than conscious thoughts in helping humans sort out the truth from a lie. The findings that are published in the Journal of Psychological Science suggest that conscious awareness may hinder our ability to detect whether someone is lying. So just go with your gut. That's where the old African saying says that always your heart. It's why we say the word never mind. I don't know if I ever told you that before. The saying never mind comes from this old African saying that says always your heart, never your mind. You're always supposed to go by what you feel, not what you think.
Okay. Well, yeah. we'll leave it there because Jerome is, I tell you, your mic is really acting up. So we'll leave it there, and hopefully you can get it fixed during the break because we definitely hear your final thoughts. And that was on a need-to-know basis with Jerome. It's pretty sorry about the technical difficulties, folks. We'll be right back after the news to finish up with our final thoughts. Don't go nowhere.
From NPR News in Washington, I'm Giles Snyder. The Australian authorities leading the search for the missing Malaysian jetliner say the detection of pulse signals by a Chinese ship is an important lead. Officials say planes and ships are being diverted to the area in the southern Indian Ocean where the sounds were picked up. The BBC's Phil Mercer reports from Sydney.
The head of the Australian-led recovery mission, Angus Houston, said two separate acoustic signals have been picked up in the Indian Ocean. On Friday, a Chinese ship said it heard electronic pulses with the same frequency as those emitted by black box data recorders. They were again detected a day later. Australian officials said it was an encouraging lead in the hunt for flight MH370, but should be treated with great caution. Now an Australian naval vessel has heard an unidentified acoustic sound in another part of the ocean, west of the city of Perth.
The BBC's Phil Mercer reporting there. Defense Secretary Chuck Hagel says the U.S. is making another move to beef up Japan's defenses. Speaking in Tokyo today, Hagel said it's a response to what he called North Korea's provocative and destabilizing actions, including recent missile launches that violate United Nations resolutions.
I can announce today that the United States is planning to forward deploy two additional Aegis ballistic missile defense ships to Japan by 2017.
Hagel also referred to ongoing territorial disputes in the region, saying China must better respect its neighbors. Hagel spoke on the eve of a visit to China. A day after Afghans are being hailed for going to the polls in large numbers in an election relatively free of Taliban attacks across the border in Pakistan, the government and the Taliban are preparing for another round of peace talks this week. NPR's Philip Rees reports Pakistan's government is pledging to release more Taliban prisoners as a gesture of goodwill.
These talks will be the second face-to-face meeting within days between Pakistan government officials and homegrown Taliban leaders who've waged war on the state for years. The government's already released 19 prisoners. Now it says it's planning to free 13 more non-combatants before talks start this coming week. It's pressing the Taliban to do the same by releasing hostages, including three particularly high-profile prisoners, the son of a former prime minister, the son of an assassinated provincial governor, and a university vice-chancellor. The government's been criticized in some quarters for making concessions to banned militants who are responsible for killing many Pakistanis. It appears the Taliban are calling all the shots, says an editorial in Pakistan's Dawn newspaper. Philip Reeves, NPR News, Islamabad.
An American family aboard a sailboat hundreds of miles off Mexico's Pacific coast is getting help from the U.S. Navy. A Navy ship arrived on the scene overnight after rescuers parachuted in to help a sick one-year-old girl. The family sent out a distress call on Thursday while on a planned trip around the world. And from Washington, this is NPR News.
Well, folks, it's been a great show this morning, but before we get out of here, there's another story that Jerome did not have the opportunity to tell us. So, Jerome, why don't you take a few minutes to tell us the story, because I'm very curious into hearing it.
All right. So, you know, I didn't know if I wanted to do the story either, but here's the story. In case, well, you're from Texas, so.
Oh, boy.
This will be a Texas story. Texas
okay.
will not abide. They will not abide by parts of the federal law aimed at reducing prison rates. So, Governor Rick Perry told the U.S. Attorney Eric Holder in a letter that the Prison Rape Elimination Act enacted in 2003 under President George W. Bush, who's also a former governor of Texas, that it will be impossible. It's of all good intentions, but the recently adopted rules by the Justice Department makes it impossible for states to enact or comply with the law. The Prison Rape Elimination Act. And what it is it moves young kids out of adult prisons. Like if you're 18, it moves 17, there's a cutoff. At 18, you're not to be in the same facility kind of thing. And they watch the ratio of female prison guards to male folks. Like you can't have only one female in with a bunch of males, that kind of thing. And Rick Perry said, no, that's too costly. We're not doing it.
Wow. Well, thank goodness that clown is on his way out
He's
of
done.
The governor's office.
<He's done.
And laughs>
I was going to say, just so that we don't end in a bad note, I just wanted to tell you this really quickly. In Spain, a half-naked woman was rescued after falling into a well. Firefighters rescued her because she was making love with some guy. She falls into a well, and the guy who she was with left her. But he did call 911.
Wow. Oh, wow. What a great guy. Yeah.
Yeah,
oh,
he won't be back.
Yeah.
All right. So
oh, man. Good stuff. That was positive. All right. So, Dr. Princess O'D, it's time for our final thoughts, and we have about 5 minutes, so please give us your final thoughts.
Okay, great show. Thank you, Jay, for that. It was a great show today. And I want to say this. First of all, save our youth, we save our world. There's so much power in amongst our youth. I want to say this to the young man. Listen, always know this, that you were created a powerful spirit being with infinite power and ability to do whatever it is that you so desire. I want you to know that you have the power to create and to change the things in your life that may be disgruntling to you. I want you to know that no matter what anybody says, it's up to you to create the vision that you want. I want you to meditate on that day in and day out. I want you to think about whatever it is that you want to do, regardless of how difficult you may think it is, to bring it to fruition. Don't worry about that. Just write down what you want. And after you write it down, I want you to create a vision and attach it to that. And when things are at first, that happen at first in your life, I want you to not meditate on those thoughts, but cancel the negative thoughts that you may have about it and go back to the vision that you created. Just know that it's up to you to be positive. And I would like to invite people to Bountiful Opportunities Group site, bountifulgroup.com, because we do have a phenomenal youth development program. And we do go around the world doing transformation assemblies, seminars, and workshops in high schools. And we are here for you to purpose team. So please visit us online at bountifulgroup.com. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much, Dr. Princess O'Dea. Jerome, final thoughts.
Yes, sir. Well, I just want to say, you know, in light of David Letterman announcing that this is his last season, I just wanted to kind of acknowledge him because back in the informative years when it was actually really, really, really dry stuff on TV, David Letterman, late night, I was too young to stay up that late back in the day, but I couldn't watch him when he was on at 12:30, but it was entertaining with Larry Bud Nelman and Chris Elliott and all those guys in the early shows of David Letterman. So I just want to actually use my final thoughts to shout him out to say, you know, good job and watch Arsenio. Arsenio is a good show. So that's my final thoughts. Thanks. All right.
Appreciate you, man. All right. Mr. Elias, man, final thoughts, my friend.
Well, I'm going to ring what Dr. O'Day said to the young man. Hey, you know, dude, look and see what you can become with your life, man. Don't go to gangs. I mean, I know it's easy for me to say because I had a great parenting system. And you obviously have a great parenting system because your grandmother reached out to give you help. So, hey, look to your grandmother when you need stuff. Don't look to the gangs, man, because they're using you to make money. So, hey, by all means, man, if you should need something, a mentor, somebody to talk to, reach out to the J. Ryle Show, and we can help you.
you know, I echo those words. You know, one of the things I am going to do is I'm going to give Grandma Jennings my phone number, because I think that if a kid is out there going down the wrong path, that it's up to us to try to figure out a way to reel them back in. Now, one of the things I will say to you, young man, I wish you would have given us your name, but I can understand that. The one thing I will say to you is this, is that, you know what, one of the things I'm not going to be a part of is a pity party. We're not going to have pity. We're not going to sit back and talk about if I could have, would have, should have. We're going to look positive. We're going to look down the road of success. We're going to try to take you there. So, look, I don't have enough time in my final thoughts to say the things I want to say to you. All I'm going to say is, once your grandmother gets my phone number, I expect to get a phone call from you. And I expect to get a phone call from you every week telling me on what you're doing and how you're doing it. We dedicated a whole segment of the show to you because we care. So keep that in mind, and hopefully I'll be talking to you. Well, I know I will. You better call me once the number gets in your hands by this time next week. And on that note, Mr. Elias, if it's Sunday and we're talking serious stuff, what time is it, my friend?
It's time for the serious side of the J. Brown Show.
So for Dr. Princess Aldina, Jerome Esprit, the smartest man in the world, and my right-hand man, Mr. L.E.S., I'm Jay. We bid you farewell. Have a great weekend, what's left of it. Enjoy your work week, and remember, if we are talking serious stuff and it is Sunday, it has to be the serious side of the Jay Rouse Show. God bless everybody. We'll see you next week.
You are listening to the TJRS Radio Network.